Good morning.
A minute. Dean signaled that I'm not hotwired. Or, I am wired, I just don't have it on the computer. It's hard to do, but I can't see it.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, just a comment about the worship folder for those who haven't worshiped with us the way we're doing this for now, anyhow. The hymns are, of course, you're just given the number. Everything in about the liturgy is in here. The other thing is that where certain things like the introit, you'll find that in the gradual on the insert. So when you're following along in the service, that's in the readings on the back, okay? All right, we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Let us join in reading responsively the introit for this morning. Blessed be the Lord. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped.
My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him.
The Lord is the strength of his people.
He is the saving refuge of Israel.
O save your people and bless your heritage.
Be their shepherd and carry them forever.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son,
and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, blessed be the Lord.
For he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, your Son Jesus triumphed over the prince of demons and freed us from bondage to sin. Help us to stand firm against every assault of Satan and enable us always to do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of his garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord. We join in reading the gradual for this morning. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised.
And his greatness is unsearchable.
On your wondrous works I will meditate.
And I will declare your greatness.
The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. "Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This is the word of the Lord. Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, "He has an unclean spirit." And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A very long time ago, when I was a child, of what age, I'm not real certain, just a long time ago, but I know I was a child because my behavior was childish. I once bought my dad a globe. It was a small globe. It was, you know, about maybe that big around. It had a nice little pedestal. I don't remember what the occasion was. It might have been a Father's Day, or it might have been Christmas. It might have been any one of those things that you would give your dad a gift. Well, one of the reasons I bought it was because, one, I liked it myself. This was a philosophy of mine, sort of still is. If I wouldn't buy it for myself, I won't buy it for somebody that I love. And it's always worked out for me. You know, it's just one of those things. But I was by myself examining this globe. And somehow, I don't remember how, but I remember the feeling of when somehow I managed to get the globe off the pedestal and it wasn't made to come off. So, I think we call that breaking it. So, I had this guilt and despair kind of thing that fell over me. I kind of figured, oh no, I'm in trouble. And so I managed to put the globe back onto the stand and I set it down, hoping maybe somebody, I guess, because I was a child, I wasn't thinking this through. Of course, when somebody picks it up, it's going to come apart. They're not made to come apart from picking it up, right? So that's what I did. And naturally, my parents came to me and said, Rod, did you break the globe? No. With all the sincerity I could muster, but they weren't having that. They knew better. Because there was only my brother, and he wouldn't have even probably monkeyed around with it. I'm not even sure what he thought about the gift, but it doesn't matter. I didn't have anyone to blame, so I just denied. Well, it didn't really work out because my parents knew me, and they knew that I was monkeying with it. So, and I just refused to confess to it, though eventually I did. They put hot lights on me, of course, and withheld food and water. why am I telling you this story? Because for a child, that was devastating. And I was filled with guilt and shame. It wasn't my intent to break the globe, but I did. And in a microcosmic sort of way, I guess, I'm trying to get to Adam and Eve's breaking of the world, which is a lot bigger globe than my little globe. But I imagine what they felt was very similar, because at that moment in my life, I didn't know any way out of this, and I was just devastated. My heart was broke that this gift I bought for my father, I broke it, this globe. Now, of course, sin leads us to all kinds of ways of trying to cover up. And we heard in the story today in Genesis how God was walking in the garden. Of course, he kind of knew what had taken place. And he goes and he finds Adam and Eve because they are hiding. Why are they hiding? Because of the guilt and shame. They are hiding because suddenly they don't know what God's going to do. Because God said, when you eat from the tree of good and life, if you do that, you will die. for a moment in my life, I forgot what my mom and dad were like. Very loving parents, very caring, full of grace and mercy to their children. Good Christian parents. But I forgot that at that moment. All I could think of was, I need to cover it up. Adam and Eve felt they needed to cover up more than just what they did, but their own bodies, which were created in the image of God. But they became ashamed of that which God made, and so they covered it. Telltale sign to God, oh, Adam and Eve, did y'all eat from that tree, the knowledge of good and evil? Did you do that? And what does sin do to us? It makes us want to go deeper in the cover-up. It wasn't my fault, Adam said. It was the woman that you made me. Oh, and Eve, what about this? Well, it was the serpent who enticed me and led me astray. That's what sin does. God gives an opportunity for confession, but instead of confessing, they only dig their way in deeper. When we come up with excuses, it is not a solution to the problem. There is no solution really for what Adam and Eve have done. They have the verdict already pronounced at the beginning when God said, of this garden you can have anything. You can eat of any of the trees, any of the plants that you want, except for this one tree. And they did it anyway. They broke the world. They broke the globe, the big globe. Because the effects didn't just affect them, but all of creation. All of creation was affected by it. And death entered into this world. Death wasn't part of God's creation. God is a God of life, not a God of death. An end was not God's plan, but an eternal relationship with Adam and Eve and their children's children and so on. That was God's plan. But he still has plans for them. Thankfully, he didn't do perhaps what others would have done. You know, just start over again. Just wipe out Adam and Eve. I already told, for instance, God could have said, I told them they would die, so now they will die. But the problem is, that death would have been an eternal death. It wouldn't fixed the problem. Those two whom he created in his image out of his great love, he created them, it says in the scriptures, with his own hands. Everything else he spoke into existence, or he commanded, for instance, the ground to bring forth all of the vegetation and everything else alive on the earth, all the cattle and other living things. But when it came to creating Adam and Eve, God formed them out of the dirt, out of the ground. And he breathed into them life. God's life was breathed into them. No other created thing on this planet was created in such a way. So letting them die eternally was not a solution. And it grieved God, and it would have grieved him to have done so. So he set about a plan, a promise, and he gave that promise through the curse to the serpent for what the serpent had done in leading them astray through his lies. And in the conclusion of it, God says to Eve that one day you will have an offspring, and that offspring, the serpent will bruise his heel, but the offspring will crush its head. God's mercy, God's grace pronounced in the midst of death. Because truly it was, but God would not have it. God's desire for us is that all people live. And so He sent His Son into this world to die for us, so that all the sins from Adam and Eve right up to our day are paid for. Oh, and the ones to come are paid for as well. Christ, when He came into this world, came as Son of God and Son of Man. He came as the one who was promised, the offspring of a woman, the offspring then of Eve. He would go to the cross willingly for us. He would suffer the pangs of death and torture that we ourselves deserve because of our sins. We are broken. We are broken and filled with sin from the moment we are born. Our nature is to sin, to rebel against God. In fact, from the moment we're born, we don't even have a heart for God. We don't know God, and we don't really look for Him. You see, when people say they have found God, they are mistaken. God was never lost. We, on the other hand, were lost. Just like Adam and Eve became lost, not knowing God and what He was going to do. They couldn't even imagine the love of God was willing to wash over this sin. They couldn't imagine that, and yet God pronounces it. And that faith in that promise made them righteous every bit as much as Abraham's faith made him righteous. Not because of works or deeds, but because he believed God's promise. And the same would apply to Adam and Eve and all their descendants who would hold in their hearts this promise from God of a Savior. Of course, they wouldn't see it, but they'd be reminded of it over the time that it took before Jesus came into the world born as a man. He was already present with God from the beginning, from eternity. But He became a man on a specific date. He assumed humanity into Himself so that He could die. We are a broken people. We are in need of a Savior. Without a Savior, we are lost. Just as in the hymn that Martin Luther wrote, "A Mighty Fortress." There is no equal in this world to defeat Satan. But for us comes, Luther would write in the next verse, a champion. And that is Jesus Christ. He comes and fights the battle we can't fight. He goes the distance we are unable to go because He alone is able to build that bridge we could never do across the chasm that separated us from God. He did it through His own death and His resurrection shows us that this was indeed sufficient. Because the one who raised Him to life has promised that one day we too will be raised up and we will be with the Lord in His kingdom. And nothing will be able to separate us from that. That knowledge was what moved Paul to proclaim the good news to the people of Corinth and to other people wherever he could find someone that would listen. Because he knew that in speaking these words, faith was created. He knew that once faith was created, there was another soul that now was God's once again. And when that happened, he said, God is glorified. And that should be all the reason in the world to spread the gospel right there. It glorifies God's holy name. It glorifies our Son and God's Son, Jesus, His death and His resurrection. They have purpose. They have meaning. But we live in a time, a world, in which sin is often looked at, and unfortunately more and more so, as a tool the church uses to guilt people so that the church can control people. The world is saying, oh no, that's just a product of religion. Sin isn't real. It's just what you've been growing up, that you grew up with being told, this is right and this is wrong. Well, it's more than what is right and wrong. Sin is a poison. It's not, well, junk food. It's poison. And we need to take the junk food label off of sin, where it's made into just a problem, and put poison back on it. Scripture says sin kills. Period. It has eternal consequences. The eternal consequence is eternal death unless it is taken care of, and that Jesus has done. But how are people to worship the Lord? How are people to give thanks unless they know this truth? So we proclaim it. This is the truth. Your sins have been paid for. Before you even ask, they were paid for. Mine too. Before we ever knew who God was, our sins were paid for. At that moment, Christ died and He said, it is finished. It was finished. Satan's head was crushed. It started with a tree in the garden and it ends on a tree on Golgotha. There we hear the pronouncement, your sins are forgiven. We hear it and we believe it. And because we believe it, we have eternal life. Jesus said so Himself. He said, there is no sin that a man can do in this world, no sin at all, that is unforgivable. Except, He said, the sin against the Holy Spirit. What is that sin? To continue in unbelief once hearing the gospel. Saying perhaps to yourself, oh no, that's not possible, that God could possibly forgive the great sins I have done. That is to elevate one, I guess, in a way, in a negative sort of way, to think that there is anything that any one of us could do that is too big for God to forgive. To think that there is something that the blood of Christ won't wash over is arrogance. Because Christ said, anything that you do is forgivable. But unbelief is not forgivable. Unbelief is letting one's heart become hardened. Because they see the things God has done for us. They see what God has done or have heard what God has done through His Son and yet reject it as being sufficient for forgiveness. And instead of thanking God and glorifying, maybe even falling on our face and rejoicing of God's great mercy and grace, we would rather go off and try and figure out what else we could do that would make it possible for God to forgive us. That is unbelief. That is sin against the Holy Spirit. We don't need that kind of hubris in our life. We need to turn and believe that every single thing I have done or you have done has been forgiven. Or anything we may do. For we know that when we fail, when we sin, we can go to God and confess. Not hide, as Adam and Eve did. Not be ashamed, But don't let it consume you. Just confess it to God, whom you know loves you and wants to forgive you. That's what the apostles teach us. That's what Jesus teaches us. And we believe because the Holy Spirit has awakened our hearts to the truth. And like St. Paul and the other apostles, we're not willing to set that aside. But instead, we want to share that news. That is how the kingdom of God continues to grow. Jesus said some words that are always good and mindful, that while it's day, we work, but when night comes, it ceases. So while it's day, do the work. Live your faith. Know you are forgiven. When you confess, God is quick to forgive. He doesn't wait. It's instantaneous. He will say, "For my son's sake, you are forgiven." And that is good news. That is good news for us. And that's God's promise fulfilled to Adam and Eve. God's promise to Adam and Eve fulfilled in the life and death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus. And we celebrate that in the season of Pentecost. Because the season of Pentecost is about the life of the church. We are the church. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise for the prayers of the church. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for the promised offspring, Jesus Christ, who by his death has crushed Satan's head forever, that as God promised deliverance from sin and its curse to Adam and Eve, and received their meager confessions for the sake of his grace, so he would show us the comfort of sins forgiven and lead us in constant hope of his new creation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for courage that as we believe, so we also would speak of the confidence of Christ's resurrection, that we would be emboldened to confess this Christian faith from a lively conscience, and that for Christ's sake, grace may extend to more and more people for the glory of God. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who feel the sword of division brought about by the confession of Christ's truth, especially within their own families, that seeing as Christ also was rejected on earth by friends and relatives, they would be assured that their stand is necessary. Be guarded from seeking a false or easier peace, and be turned in every earthly disappointment toward God's eternal and undivided church triumphant. Let us pray to the Lord. For our nation with its government, that as no kingdom or house divided can ever stand, God would frustrate the destructive work of Satan, unite our leaders and our people for the common good, and lead us to place our true hope in his eternal kingdom, which is not of this world. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who suffer in this earthly tent, especially we lift up this day Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Carl and Jackie Roche, Robert and Donna Knuff, and Jenny Turner. That fixing their eyes beyond the transient to the things unseen, they would not lose heart, and that God in His eternal wisdom would prepare them through this slight momentary affliction for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, when at last we are raised with Christ and brought into His presence. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who commune, that as Satan once overcame our first parents through the eating of the tree's fruit, so Christ would overcome the devil among us here by the fruit of His cross, His body and blood, given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. Let us pray to the Lord. What was lost in paradise has been regained by the conquering wounds of Your Son, crucified and raised again. In Him we are restored as Your children and made bold to ask for every need. Hear us for His sake and in His name, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated and we'll join in singing hymn 644. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is in your righteous judgment. You condemned the sin of Adam and Eve who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that comes to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll forego the Sanctus this morning. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace and joy. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Morning.
Morning.
Take a look at today's announcements. First of all, I want to wish Paul and Ryan Braskowski a happy birthday on the 12th. And also on the 12th, happy anniversary to the Dursons.
Woohoo!
how many years is it?
66.
Wow.
want to invite everybody back for coffee and refreshments after the services here in the fellowship hall. And then today is our special Friendship Sunday. And Cheryl, you want to let us know about what's going on for that?
Well, it's going to happen as it happens. We're here to have fun. And the domino players have come, so we know that it's here. So anyway, we're going to have hamburgers, and we've got chips and desserts to go with that. We have tea, unsweetened sweet tea, and water, because some people may not want tea. When we go into the fellowship hall, there's coffee. I'm not sure if there's any other kind of refreshment, since it's such a big day with hamburgers and desserts and stuff. So we'll go in there and have fellowship. And I guess if the domino players want to start, they can. Sometimes they crack them out and start playing. We're going to be preparing things like cutting up the tomatoes. And thank you to the Woolies for providing homegrown tomatoes today.
Yay!
Woohoo! So they brought us some tomatoes, but we have all the other things that go with hamburgers. And we have squeeze bottles. I can only get 500 of, they came in 500 for the pack. So we're doing squeeze bottles, and I think everybody's okay with that. So we have mayo, mustard, and ketchup. So you get your choice. There's cheese, if you want cheeseburger. And I think we'll put the cheese out on the table, and if you want a cheeseburger, instead of putting it on the grill, those who want hamburgers cannot get cheese. Those who want cheeseburgers can get cheese. Is that all right with everybody? We'll put it out on the table for you, and you get to select what you want. But it's going to be a great day, and we're going to have fun and enjoy fellowship. And thank you for coming. And we have some people that are still coming, so we're not alone. We're not only.
About what time are the hamburgers going to be
ready?
When they're
ready.
I've
got to start the fire first.
I'm not going to say a specific time, but. I would say around 11:30 or 12, huh?
That'd be good. I'm hungry.
Yeah. That's about right. I mean, I don't know, somewhere between 11 and 12. How about that?
Play dominoes. It takes your mind off your stomach.
That's right. there's dominoes, and I've got rummy cube, and we got all kinds of stuff. So everybody's going to have a good time. Thank you for coming.
On June the 10th through 12th, we're having our district convention in St. Marcus, and Bob Turner has agreed to take my place as a lay delegate, and I guess Pastor will take his place.
Yeah, I'll go in my own place.
And then on the 11th, we're having a council meeting, and on the 25th is our next voters meeting, and that's in July.
July 11th, not
July 11th and July 25th.
Just for those people food we're thinking maybe not.
Thanks for clarifying that.
That's okay.
Would there be any other announcements, Carolyn?
Some of you might know that Reverend Shula lost his oldest daughter this week. From what I've been told, I'm having a memorial service on Saturday the 24th or 25th or something like that. Whatever that Saturday is. 26th on a Saturday. I don't know the time at this time.
Where at?
I guess at their church.
Trinity?
Church. Okay. I don't know who's doing the service or anything else. I just know that there's a memorial service. All I was told is that she went to bed and found the next morning deceased. I know she had multiple problems, diabetes, and toes being cut off and things like that. But anyway.
She was having detached retinas. She was getting to where she couldn't see. She was only 46.
And that's the same day that Joni Murdoch's husband is at the memorial.
And then the other positive thing, I talked to the elders last week. On Mondays at the Methodist Church here in town, they've been having 42 and dominoes from 1 to 4, and the Methodist Church is going to, here in Wallace, is leveling their social room and their senior school rooms. I mean, it is really unlevel. And so they've asked us if we would temporarily host that. So the elder said yes. So not this Monday, but the next Monday from 1 to 4, if anybody likes to play dominoes or chicken foot or whatever, come in 3 or 4 weeks. I don't know how long exactly it'll take them to do. It is really a pretty bad shape, that hall.
So do we need to bring refreshments or anything?
No, everybody brings, there's no refreshments left. Everybody brings their own soda water, drinks, anything, so we don't have to do anything but have it open, and I may have to get a key. I'm not sure if I got a key or not, but I will be here to post or whatever. Thank you.
Okay.
I was going to say, too, there's some trail mix that has been packaged in the red container over by the window. So those are for snacky things if you want, while you're playing, if you want a little snack, there's some trail mix in the little bag.
Okay.
There's don't get filled up on that, Jan.
All right, I'll try not to.
Ruin your dinner.
If there's no more announcements, let's conclude with hymn 632. Please rise.